Chapter 2. This isn't happening, thought Torak. He wasn't staring at those claw-like fingers, at that blood blackening under the nails. It wasn't real. A gull screamed on the cliff and Torak raised his head. High above, at the lip of the crag, a juniper bush hung down. He pictured Bale on his knees, leaning over too far. His desperate grab at a branch, the sickening jolt as it gave way, the rocks hurtling towards him. Oh, Bale, why did you go so close to the edge? A chill wind stole down his neck and he shivered. Bale's souls were close, and they were angry, angry with him. If you'd been with me, I wouldn't have died. Torak shut his eyes. Death marks. Yes, the souls must be kept together, or Bale might become a demon or a ghost. At least I can do this for you, thought Torak. With clumsy fingers, he untied his medicine pouch and shook it. Out fell the medicine horn, which had been his mother's, and the little mussel spoon. He blinked. He hadn't even thanked Bale for it. They had eaten in silence. Then they'd fought. No, he corrected himself. Bale didn't fight. You did the quarrelling. The last thing you ever said to him was in anger. Death marks. He shoved the spoon back into the pouch. Shaking earth blood into his palm, he tried to spit on it, but his mouth was too dry. He stumbled to a rock pool and made the red ochre into a paste with seawater. On his way back, he wound oreweed round his forefinger so as not to touch the corpse. Bale lay on his back. His face was unmarked. It was the back of his skull that had cracked like an eggshell. Numbly, Torak daubed earth-blood circles on the forehead, chest, and heels. He'd done the same for Far. The mark on Far's chest had been the hardest, as he had a scar where he'd cut out the soul-eater tattoo. Torak's own chest bore a similar scar, so when his time came, that mark would be difficult too. Bale's chest was smooth.